And this is Classical Discoveries with Marvin Rosen, and I will be back in seconds with music by Alex Shapiro, who is sitting about 2 feet away from me here in the studio. So hope you'll be able to stay tuned for that.
Check out WPRB.com for station information, playlists, and much more. You can friend and follow WPRB along at a variety of social networking sites, too. We're at myspace.com/WPRB, facebook.com/WPRB1033FM, and twitter.com/WPRB.
You were just listening to Deep, a composition for contrabassoon and electronics by Alex Shapiro, as performed by contrabassoonist Leslie Leshinsky, along with percussionist Dan Morris. The electronic track was realized, produced, and recorded by the composer, Alex Shapiro, who is my guest today until 12 noon. Alex Shapiro composes acoustic and electroacoustic pieces known for their lyricism and drama. Published by Activist Music, her music is heard daily in concerts and broadcasts across the U.S. and internationally, and can be found on over 20 commercially released CDs from record labels around the world. Educated at the Juilliard School and Manhattan School of Music as a student of Ursula Mamluk and John Corigliano, Ms. Shapiro's honors and awards include those from the American Music Center, ASCAP, the American Composers Forum, MUFI Epsilon, Meet the Composer, the California Arts Council, and the McDowell Colony. An enthusiastic leader in the new music community, Alex is a strong advocate for other artists through her speaking appearances, published articles, and volunteerism. She is the elected National Concert Music Representative on the ASCAP Board of Review, is a member of ASCAP's Symphony and Concert Committee, serves on the Board of Directors of the McDowell Colony, and chairs the Media Council for New Music USA. Ms. Shapiro is the past president of the Board of Directors of the American Composers Forum of Los Angeles, and has also served as on the boards of national music organizations, including the American Music Center, the College Music Society, and the National Association of Composers USA and the Society of Composers and Lyricists. Raised in Manhattan and later a longtime resident of Malibu, California, Alex now lives on Washington State's remote San Juan Island. When she's not composing, she can be found communing with the sea life, as seen on her music and photo fill blog, www.notesfromthekelp.com, and her website. Alex, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Alex. How you doing? How are you?
I'm so happy to finally meet you. Yeah. Marvin and I have one of these friendships where we've never met before about 10 minutes ago, but we've known each other for years via email and broadcasting.
I remember when you first wrote to me. I think I probably played something of yours.
I think you did, and I thanked you.
To not get into that topic, it's amazing how many people don't. Not that I look for it, but it's also amazing how many people, if I play something, will, instead of thanking me, they'll say, why didn't you play this? I mean, it's really a tough world out there. And we're going to be talking about a number of different issues involving contemporary music. But Alex, I have admired your work for so many years, and I'm so glad you were able to squeeze the time and come down and be my guest here during your stay in New York. We will, of course, be listening to a great deal of your music. However, before we get to that, why don't you share with us a bit about how you got involved with music in general, as well as with composition? In other words, give us a condensed version of the Alex Shapiro story.
Very condensed. I started writing music when I was a really short person. When I was 9 years old, I started writing. And then when I was about 10, I asked my parents for piano lessons. And they said, are you going to practice? And I said, yes. And they said, okay. And then I really think it was when I was 15 and I had taken a summer set of classes at Manus College of Music, because I grew up in Manhattan. Yeah. So it was the most amazing place in the world for a budding composer to be. Mm-hmm. I had everything at my disposal and the support of two arts-loving parents. I'm an only child. So, you know, it's so important for parents to see the vision and support their kids in what they are focusing on, what they love and what they want to do. And my parents were very willing to educate me, and I'm so grateful for that, and I encourage that with other parents.
When you were growing up, living in Manhattan, you know, living in the city, and you wanted to be a composer, and at a young age, what music kind of music did you listen to?
Well, my house was flooded with my father's, in particular, love of Mahler symphonies, Brahms chamber music. Mm-hmm. I mean, just really, really, you know, fantastic. And the best recordings. I used to joke that my father was like a walking Schwann catalog. Ah. For those people old enough to remember what a Schwann catalog actually was.
I was in retail a while ago, and people referred to me because they asked me, where is this? I knew the numbers.
Exactly. That's disgusting. Like my father. He had, you know, five different versions of every symphony and could tell you, you know, if you heard something on the radio, not only could he tell you what the, you know, what movement it was in just a few notes, but then he could tell you who the conductor was and which other conductor did that at a better tempo. You know, it was very.
He sounds like a man I would have been.
You guys
would have been close to my heart.
You would have loved each other. He should have had his own radio broadcast. Classical music only, though. He was not an aficionado of new music. I think his interests were pretty much from Bach to Bartok, and that's fairly where it stopped right there. But boy, he loved Mahler and Bruckner and all of this. So he used to blare this music when I was going to sleep as a kid, blaring over the old KLH speakers. And he'd stand in front of the speaker. He was an attorney and also a social activist. Yes, the huge floor speakers. And he would stand late at night with a baton in his hand, conducting the speakers.
And
like his hero,
and
Bernstein.
Living in New York, and I was going to say, exactly. Bernstein. That was when Bernstein, I'm just, you know, not going into anyone's age, but I mean, but... I'm sure, because when Bernstein kind of made a big splash with these, that was around that time.
Absolutely. I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, and as a matter of fact, I think when I was very young, I think I was at one of the young people's concerts. I have a memory of this.
Really?
It's a little vague, because I was probably still a very short person.
Yeah. But well, when I was a baby, very, very young, I was... One of those. I'm wondering if you may have sat next to me, Alex.
It's entirely possible.
Did you listen to popular music at all?
All the time. I've always loved pop music. I've loved jazz. I love everything. I mean, there's nothing I don't listen to. And as a kid, I loved it. I was relegated to my own room and my little phono player in my room to listen to that stuff, though, because my parents did not have any affinity for commercial music or pop music. And so that was sort of my own discovery. I didn't grow up with that at all in the house. Although I will say my father did have a Bill Evans album. I think it was Live from Montreux. And he gave that to me because he sort of felt like he couldn't listen to it in the confines of the living room with my mother around. But it just wasn't her taste. But he gave it to me, and boy, did he turn me on to Bill Evans and Ahmad Jamal, another one. I mean, just he was really at the forefront of my love for jazz.
Well, let's go on. You were raised in Manhattan, and you now live in Washington State, on Washington State's remote San Juan. That's quite a different.
Well, I like to say it's from one island to another, and the one I live on now is actually twice the size of the one I grew up on.
But with a few less people. Well, what made you decide? I mean, you're a New Yorker. Mm-hmm. What made you decide?
Well,
there
was a stop in between.
In
24 years in California. Basically, the snapshot is I grew up in Manhattan. When I was 21 and finishing up at Manhattan School of Music, I got a gig scoring low, basement level, you know, direct-to-video kind of project, because I went into film scoring initially, not concert music. And I was a composition major in my studies, but didn't think I could get arrested for my concert music back then. This was over 30 years ago. I left in 83. So it's about, how many years is that? 30?
Not quite. It's less than that. You can think of it. Well, think of it, it's less
than
that.
There you go. But I came out to L.A. to do film and TV scoring and then stayed there for a whopping 24 years. And then it was just about 5 years ago that I decided I'd had enough of the traffic and the craziness and the insanity of Los Angeles. And by that time, I had about 10 years earlier, I had changed my career over to concert music, which is really my deepest love. And I had enough of an internet presence to be able to move anywhere in the world, because I'm not performing, I'm not waving a stick at people, I'm not doing anything. All that matters is I can string the notes together, sit down someplace, hit the send button on my music, and it gets out there, right? So I realized as long as I have a presence online, I can live where I want to live. And I have such an affinity for nature. As I lived all those years in Los Angeles, I kept getting more and more rural. Yeah. And the last places I was living were right on the beach. And now I'm really rural.
Well, Alex, why don't we, you know, I mean, share with us, make us all jealous. Tell us about your surroundings. Just share with us just a little
bit. The best way to make you jealous is to suggest to anybody listening is go to my website, my blog, actually, notesfromthekelp.com, notesfromthekelp.com, and you will see a gazillion photos over the years that I take. I'm a very amateur, emphasis on amateur, photographer, nature photographer. You won't see buildings. You won't see people. There are darn few pictures even of me, although a couple of recent ones, but I really concentrate on the wildlife and the beauty of the area because there is so much to share. And I live in this exquisite setting. I'm about 50 feet from the edge of the water, facing an expanse that is miles and miles and miles from the Cascades. To my left, out to Mount Rainier, 125 miles away, I can see it crystal clearly on certain very wonderful clear days, and then the Olympic Mountains. All of these are snow-capped on my right, and then Victoria, because we're right on the Canadian border, so I can see, you know, Victoria's right over there too, and it's nothing but sea life and
wildlife. You have to take a ferry whenever.
You have to take a ferry or a puddle jumper plane. There, we have no bridge, and that's what makes it so special. It kind of separates the wheat from the chaff, or you could say the same people from the crazy people like me who choose to live on an island that doesn't have a bridge, because it really is a commitment to live there, and it keeps the population wonderfully low. We have about 6,500 people full-time living there, and then it swells in the summer. It more than doubles its size, I'm sure.
Wow. How often do you go on mainland, in other words?
Fairly often. I happen to do a lot of traveling because I do enjoy speaking and you know, being with people for my work. It's not something I have to do. I mean, I could stay on the island, but I enjoy having this sort of bifurcated life. So I get off island easily once or twice a month and traveling. Last year I was traveling probably half of every month. Now I'm trying to cut it back a little bit because I truly, truly love my environment, and it's the most inspiring one in which to write music. I have to say that connection.
Well, yeah, we'll talk more about that in just a little bit, because that's kind of something I want to discuss, and oh, gosh, I'm jealous.
Come out and visit. I always say that to everybody.
Yeah.
Come out and visit. It's an amazing place, and I make a really good nature docent. I love driving people around in circles on the island and showing them the eagles, the bald eagles, and the foxes, and the orcas. Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a little different than traffic, construction, and all that
and
stuff.
And
noise
the IRT.
And the whole thing. Oh, the IRT.
I grew up in the city, you know, taken for 6 years. I was commuting to the Bronx to go to high school, junior high and high school. Mm-hmm. So I was on that number one subway from 86th Street to 242nd Street every single day. You know it very well.
I know
well.
That number one. So, I sure do. Well, let's move on, Alex. This is great. We're going to go to more music. This is your composition, Unabashedly More. It's for chamber ensemble. Now, there are more pieces with this title. Tell us about the meaning of that in this piece we're going to hear right
well,
now.
Well, I think the initial version of this piece was a quartet that was commissioned in Los Angeles from